Hello and welcome back. Stuhat Facts in Nigeria, info and here in Port Harcourt, your number one talk station. I'm Dayo. It's about 10 minutes gone past 4 p.m. And let's move on right now with the next matter up for discussion. And that has to do with the hoodlums who in Ogun State, like I said, you know how it is? Sometimes you feel like going on a stroll in the evenings and you go back home. What hoodlums did in Ogun State was they went on a stroll and they decided to burn down an ANEC office. Well, here's the story. Hoodlums set Ogun INEC office on fire. Now, some suspected hoodlums in the early hours of Thursday burnt an office of INEC at Iyana Mortuary in Abeokuta, the Ogun State capital. Our correspondent gathered the hoodlums numbering about eight reportedly scaled the perimeter fence, jumped into the premises, set the INEC building on fire from the back. It was gathered the hoodlums, after invading the premises, soaked loaves of bread with petrol and threw the same into the building at different angles to light up the INEC office. It was further gathered that the security guard at the facility, identified as Aziz Hamzat, made a distress call to the police around 1 a.m., alerting them to the fire incident. The police from Ibara Division reportedly mobilized detectives to the scene and later contacted men of the fire service who raced to the scene to put out the fire. When contacted, the Ogun INEC wreck Ni Ijalai confirmed the incident, describing it as shocking. The rec said the situation was still being assessed. And it said, quote, "It's correct, our office was set on fire. The police are investigating. I do not know what to say. I'm in shock myself. We called the police and other security agencies at night. The fire brigade put the situation under control. The level of damage still being assessed. Very shocking and untoward. Security agencies doing their best. We are meeting again later today." A source in INEC hinted that the store, the registration area, officer's office, conference room were affected by the inferno, also saying that non-sensitive materials were also affected by the fire. And that's it. I'm asking you a fundamental question now, and that fundamental question is, what is fundamentally wrong with Nigeria's electoral process? Let's get you all take. We're live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. We're live on Twitter as well at NigeriaInfoPH. The number to call will be given once again shortly. But joining me in the studio for this conversation also is editor with the Independent Monitor, Olan Lekan Ige. Lekan, hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, good evening, Dayo, and how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Okay.
Great, so let's get to it then. Let's start with this Ogun State scenario situation first off. What reason could there possibly be for the hoodlums to have gone to an INEC office, not an opposition party secretariat, not a place where opposition party members were holding a rally or campaign, not a place where Atiku supporters were putting up posters, not anything like that, an INEC office at night, we don't even have sensitive materials there, and just set the place on fire? And no report of a theft, by the way. Just set the place on fire. What could possibly have led to that?
That is difficult to offer that, really. And what could have gone on in the minds of the people who have decided to set the INEC office ablaze? Ogun State has not been in the news for such kind of things in recent years. And it's not like we had in the past where political party offices were set ablaze, you know, across some states in Nigeria. This has nothing to do with political party. We've even seen party members set their own party office headquarters ablaze, you know, in anger, you know, in protest against certain decisions of the executive of the party. So it's shocking, really. And shocking, even more shocking is that, look, Ogun State has not been in the news for the wrong reasons, especially as regards, you know, politics in recent years. So I'm taken aback as to what could have led to this, and to also take it beyond where we are seeing it in Ogun State, is to say, look, we've had recent experiences in the Southeast that where INEC offices have been set ablaze. And you would rather think that Nigeria's security agencies, and we have a plethora of them, Civil Defense Corps, we have the DSS, we have the Directorate of Military Intelligence, we have the Nigeria Intelligence Agency, we have the Department of State Security, we have the police, you know, we have a plethora of security agencies. And you'll be thinking that one of the places that should be well secured as we head to 2023, you know, general election should be INEC offices across all local governments and across all states of the Federation. So when you see people were taking a stroll, you know, I wouldn't know what was on their mind. Is it that they were hard on drugs or they were high on something? They were just taking a stroll. Maybe they just thought within themselves, look, I think we can just touch, you know, this INEC office. Let's just prove that, you know, let's test our powers or something. And, you know, on challenge, you know, on in that, took his stroll, enter the INEC office, had time to, you know, to set it ablaze. You know, that's a, should you say it's an accidental, you know, event, or it was a premeditated action? Premeditated will have meant that, look, they actually planned it, you know, from the house, and the target was INEC office. But the story is saying, look, they were taking the stroll, so it's an accidental thing.
No, I just added
that. Oh, you just added the stroll. Okay, so it could be premeditated. It could be something they've planned from the house, and to say, look, let's just go and prove that, look, we're in charge of this area or something. So you wonder why INEC office can be attacked in such a, you know, a brazen manner, in an unchallenged, you know, atmosphere. It suggests a breakdown of intelligence gathering.
Talking about wandering. Now, like you already said just a while ago, whilst this might be a strange occurrence in a place like Ogun State, it's not exactly uncommon
in Nigeria.
True. You know, I mean, like you said, and not just burning the INEC offices, you said even party members have burned down
their own party offices protest against certain decisions of the party.
Precisely. Now, considering all of these anomalies, because I imagine that there are societies where things like this would be mentioned, and they wonder if that is existing on planet Earth, if that's happening in the country on the same Earth that they also inhabit. So, is our electoral process fundamentally flawed? Is something wrong with it fundamentally? That the things that you hear of here, it's just like when you go to some countries, and you mention malaria. There's a generation that do not know what malaria is.
True.
So when you talk about things like this, that elections are coming and people are shooting people and they are hacking people with machete, and they are burning down INEC offices and burning down party secretariats, some persons will wonder, is that here on Earth or some other planet? That said, once again, is something fundamentally wrong with our electoral process?
Without any doubt, something is fundamentally wrong with our electoral process. And when you talk about electoral process, you also talk about formation of political parties. You talk about how political parties recruit their leadership, because so much is at stake. And because so much is at stake, you also have to question the way and manner, you know, political parties recruit leadership on the one hand. On the other hand, it's also to look at the a seeming lackadaisical attitude on the part of both the executive and the judiciary. You know, Dayo, one of the greatest enablers, you know, of a crime is impunity. When people know that they can carry out certain actions and nothing will happen. It's only in Nigeria you see people dare you and say, look, I will kill you and nothing will happen. And they mean it. You understand? So when you say, is that happening because of the lackadaisical attitude of both the executive and the judiciary? Because the police is under the executive. It is the responsibility of the executive to fund police. It is the responsibility of the executive to ensure that the police is well equipped to be able to carry out its constitutional responsibilities. It's also the responsibility of the judiciary to, you know, to find out ways through which they can quicken dispensation of justice. Because when people are arrested for certain crimes, for some time, you find out that there are cases that are in court for upward of 10, 15 years. And you are wondering, what happens if a case is in a court, you know, for almost 10 years? Sometimes you find out that the judge in charge of that case is either he retires or he's promoted. And remember, when a judge is handling a case, he retires or is promoted out of that office, any other judge that will take over that case will have to start that matter from the beginning. That means time is lost. Even either the complainant or the defendant or the accused may even die in the process. So you understand why, you know, what has been giving room to this kind of impunity we have in Nigeria? People are arrested. It takes them so much time to even prosecute them. And more than often not, even in the course of prosecution, you find out that there isn't this, you know, detailed investigation by the police. You go to the prisons and you find out that, look, some people have been in prison, awaiting trial for 10 years, for 15 years. When you even find out what was the offense in the first place, maybe it's an offense of just 1 to 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And the person is already spending more than what should have been the original sentence. So you look at all of these factors, something being fundamentally wrong with the electoral process, including how political parties recruit leadership. Then you also look at the attitude of both the executive and the judiciary in arresting situations that, you know, require urgent attention. So if you arrest somebody, for example, for an electoral offense, it shouldn't take eternity, you know, for us to be able to look at what happened and punish adequately those who were involved. But when you have a situation where you have to have a case that starts at the High Court, or sometimes they deliberately take the matter to the magistrate court, then the magistrate will tell you that, look, this is beyond my jurisdiction. You forward the case file to the DPP. It takes the DPP another 5, 6, 7 months to look at the matter. The matter is eventually filed at the, you know, at the High Court. From the High Court, you're heading to the appeal. From the appeal, you're heading to Supreme Court. In all of this, a lot of things could have happened, Dayo. Is either the complainant is no longer interested, the accused may even die, or anything could happen. The judge may be promoted, or the judge retires, and you have to start the process, you know, all over again. So you look at the summary of all of this, Dayo, is that we have so much impunity in Nigeria, and that is one of the major problems bedeviling Nigeria today. Too much impunity because of the failure of the executive, because the executive controls the police, and of course the judiciary that takes almost an eternity for us to get judgment at the end of the day. And remember that when you get judgment, it's not just for the people who went to complain. Even the accused, we also get judgment. The society too, we also get judgment. At least there's a closure to say, look, Mr. A committed social offense and is getting punished for it.
So maybe the executive and the judiciary are not playing their role. So how about those who very likely sent, for example, sent those hoodlums in Ogun State to go burn up the building? How about those who sponsor thugs to burn up buildings in other places, or to go, who make phone calls and invite thugs to come to shoot people and hack them possibly to death? How about the people who are responsible for that?
No, that when the matter is taken to court, everybody will bear his father's name. If somebody sends me to go and burn down INEC office, I'm sure I'll be interrogated. I'll be interviewed. Who sent me? From where am I? You know, I will have to mention names. Who empowered me? Who gave me the gun? You, in the course of investigation, police will begin to extract information from the accused. If I'm arrested, for example, if somebody has sent me to go and burn down INEC office anywhere in Nigeria, one of the things you'll be expecting is that the police should be able to subpoena my phone records. Who are the people I've called, you know, preceding that action? What happened? How did it happen? Did I meet with anybody? Okay, who sent me? If at the end of all of this, I said nobody sent me, then I'm going for it. So if you have 50 people committing various offenses, and almost all of them get their days in court, and they get the punishment they deserve, and they're in jail, I'm sure it may serve as deterrent to others to say, look, the last 10, 15, 20 people that tried this are all in jail. I'm not going to put my hands in something that will not work. And if at the end of the day, the accused or the suspected criminal is arrested and is able to mention certain names. So if I'm arrested, for example, Dayo, and I mention Mr. A, B, C, D to F, I'm sure police will invite them and say, look, this man has been implicated in what has happened. Then you have something to answer. Then they charge all of us to court. And like I said, Dayo, it is because of this impunity. That's why we've not been able to march forward. If we've had people, no matter how highly placed they are, have been arrested and they have their days in court and they are punished for the crime, I'm sure it will serve as deterrent to others who may want to, you know, follow that line of thought and say, look, after all, when Mr. A did it, nothing happened. When Mr. B did it, nothing happened. When Mr. Y did it, nothing happened. So if I do it, nothing will happen. And more than often, no, nothing will happen. And when we have this culture of nothing will happen, which is what enables a lot of crime in Nigeria, that's what enables a lot of political, you know, violence in Nigeria. Nothing will happen. And truly, nothing will happen. We've seen it since 1999. Nothing will happen. And because nothing will happen, there are people who are sitting somewhere now, Dayo, and they are taking notes of actions of some people. They are writing down in a book. When they also rise,
politically. They also copy from the book of people that were before them, and they carry it out, and they will tell you that nothing will happen.
It is Hard Fact to Nigeria. In Food Herring Budhakot, hoodlums burned down INEC building in Ogun State. Not the only INEC office that's ever been burnt down. Possibly not the last one either. I'm asking you, what is fundamentally wrong with the electoral process in Nigeria? We have to go for a commercial break now. We'll return shortly. Conversation continues. Stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Podhakot.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome. I actually had Fact to Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dai. It's 4:30 p.m. Discussions continue now. I'm asking you, what is fundamentally wrong with Nigeria's electoral process? And by the way, the instigation, if you will, for that conversation, or this conversation, is an incident in Ogun State where hoodlums set the Ogun INEC office on fire. My guest in the studio is Olalekan Igi, editor with The Independent. Monitor Olalekan, you're welcome once again.
Yeah, thank you, Dario.
Join us via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. We're streaming live there. Also YouTube, Nigeria Info PH. The line will be open shortly. But before then, Lekan, before the break, you put it down to impunity.
Yeah.
You put it down to the failure of the executive and the judiciary. When a person knows that if I go out and deface a billboard, nothing's going to happen. When a person knows that if I gather a few thugs like myself and we beat up real or perceived political opponents, nothing's going to happen. If we even go as far as killing them, very likely nothing might happen as well. And because the executive that's responsible for the police and other security apparatus and the judiciary that should dispense justice has failed woefully in its responsibility, this will persist. Does it then mean that until we have a government that does not condone impunity, we are doomed to continue this way? And let me answer that question. It's not unlikely that the governments we have present are products of impunity as well. They have benefited from the impunity. Might be the reason that they allow the impunity to continue. So, it's a cycle. How then will this culture of impunity come to an end when products of impunity, more often than not, end up winning elections and perpetuate themselves in power?
Well, there has to be a breaking point, Dio. And you know, Nigeria's march to progress, Nigeria's march to greatness, Nigeria's march to growth and development is tied to political parties. Interestingly, they are intertwined. Without a solid political party process, we'll continue to struggle with our progress in Nigeria. Remember that I have always said, look, the way and manner political parties recruit leadership is suspect. And because it is suspect, we'll continue to have people who ordinarily shouldn't be in government. For as long as godfathers continue to control the electoral process, we'll continue to have faulty foundations. It means that we will not get people who are ready for government. We will not get people who are ready for governance. We will not get people who have brilliant ideas to turn around the fortunes of the Federal Republic of Nigeria at the federal level, state, and at the local government level. We need to have the right leaders. And so, if political parties don't ensure that they have a credible recruitment process, Nigeria as a country will continue to falter, because the people who eventually become the president, vice president, governor, local government, assembly members will be products of this faulty electoral process. And that's why I've always tried to advocate that, look, can the Electoral Act be amended in such a manner that will make it mandatory for political parties to also adopt electronic voting? Can we have an electoral act that makes it mandatory for political parties to have a membership register so that before any primary takes place in any political party, there will be a membership register, verified membership register, to say, look, maybe 48 hours before a political party holds its primary, there should be a membership register that is with INEC, so that we know that before this primary takes place, political party A has 500 members, and these 500 members will vote rather than via delegate election. Even if we are going to have delegate election, let all party members be involved in choosing those that will be delegates for every political party primary. Not a group of leaders sitting down somewhere and say, look, these are the people that will be the delegates, until we fundamentally restructure the way and manner we constitute political parties in Nigeria. Nigeria's march to greatness will continue to be stunted. It's obvious. It's obvious for everybody to see. See what happened in England recently. You say, look, they've had democracy for decades, for centuries, you understand? But then you saw how a prime minister arrived and departed without so much force, in the United Kingdom. So when we're able to, get to that process, then it will now begin to affect the kind of people we have in government. So you can imagine, if we have somebody who is well prepared to be a governor, emerges as a governor, you can understand that he will not condone a lot of things, because he knows that his political future is tied to his party members, who can wake up at any point in time and say, look, Mr. Man, we sent you there to represent us. You are not representing us well. We want to recall you. And they're able to fulfill the recall process, then you understand. In the United States, there are times people call for midterm election and say, Olalekan, please come on. Let us even test whether you are still popular. And they vote, and you come for midterm election. If you survive it, then you know that, yes, you are doing it. If you don't survive it, whoever that replaces you also knows that such an action can be called upon at any point in time, and it can be changed. So the moment those who hold office know that party members and the electorates generally have the power to change them, they will begin to have changes in the way and manner we have the kind of leadership we should produce in Nigeria.
Join the conversation now. Lines open. It's 0700-923-093. That's 0700-923-093. A reminder, we're live on facebook.com/Nigerian for PH. We're live on Twitter also at Nigerian for PH. Let's get your contribution to the conversation at hand. Starting with Facebook, a couple of the gods and goes, were the hoodlums not identified? As at the time that report was filed, it appears certain the hoodlums had not yet been identified. Ned Agumar goes, that inferno is just a ploy by the big men to put fear in the minds of Nigerian youths prior to the 2023 elections, but they have failed already. Let's talk about that for a bit before we continue. Yes, we've talked about the failure of the executive and the judiciary, but then again, trying to get the peep into the minds of the actors, the instigators of this violence and this mayhem, like those who may have sent these hoodlums to go burn that building, the INEC office in Ogun State. What do you think they are also gunning at? What do you think their motive is? For example, those who must very likely sent the hoodlums to go burn the INEC office. What motivates them? What is their end game?
In the case, it's difficult really to determine what is a motive here. INEC will now come out and say, look, we have uncollected PVCs, that were inside that building, and all the PVCs have been burned down. Then you understand, look, could it be a strategy by maybe one of the political parties? So look, let's whittle down the influence of our opposition, party members or opponents.
So maybe we don't know exactly what happened in this case, but generally speaking, when Nigerian politicians employ violence, whether they're burning down buildings or even killing people, what is the end game?
Most times it's to create fear. One, panic and fear, in the minds of the people. And sometimes it's to weaken, their opponents in areas where they think they are not too strong. So if I'm contesting election against somebody, for example, and I think that from wards 1 to 9, there's the strength, I can as well decide to go and cause mayhem in maybe 4 out of the 9 wards to ensure that, look, people don't come out to vote. While I ensure that in the areas where I think I'm very strong, I mobilize all my people and ensure they come out in their large number. So that way, if 100 people were to come out in your opponent's area, you might just have 30, 40 people turning out in the long run out of fear. Maybe some of them are able to brace, you know, the odds and say, look, we are going to vote regardless of whatever violence may have happened, you know, in an area where in his own area, out of probably 100 people, 80, 90 people turn out. So you begin to understand the strategy he has adopted now, weaken the opponent in a strong area and ensure that, look, in the area where you have your strength, you are able to impose it, you know, on the people. So that could be a strategy and that could be a motive. Sometimes too, in certain INEC offices ablaze, it could be, look, one, let's ensure that people don't get their PVCs because we already have an advantage, or to ensure that, look, the materials don't get distributed, you know, their opponents. During election, that you find out that some areas will be complaining since 8 a.m. we have not seen electoral materials and not the rest, while in the area of our opponents, they are voting already.
They are done voting.
Well, we have not even seen any material and all of that. You know, these are some of the, you know, strategies that have happened over the time. And one of the key reasons why we are saying, look, can we actually adopt electronic voting so that, look, there'll be no need to move electoral materials from the rack center, registration area centers. You start moving from the rack center to the ward, from the ward to the polling unit. And sometimes INEC does not even control the logistics. So INEC has to resort to hiring vehicles. And you don't know the state of some of these vehicles sometimes. So you hire a bus and it's meant to carry electoral materials from the registration, from the rack center, and the bus breaks down the road. INEC cannot guarantee, you know, the state of that bus. So can we find a way through which INEC can eliminate some of these middlemen and talk directly to the people, which is probably through electronic voting?
Once again, number to call, 0700-93-093, via facebook.com/NigerianForPH, via Twitter as well, at NigerianForPH. Also, let's say back to Facebook. Onye Kwa goes, good evening, Dad. I'm not in support of what happened to the INEC building, but this goes to show that the people don't like them because of their illegalities and irregularities. A past INEC chairman was from the same region with this one. Okay, all right. That's a very interesting position, though. So, Onye Kwa, so if you think it's because people don't like the INEC, that's why they burned down the office. So it's okay for people to burn down every other building as well. Because there's always going to be somebody or someone I don't like or somebody else doesn't like. So let's just go on an arson spree then, burning down.
If you have to INEC in recent times, I think INEC has really tried, you know, to do some soul searching, and I'm sure in their determination to ensure that we have some reasonable level of credibility in our election, that's what has brought about the BVAS, the biometric verification accreditation system.
Even though we had some resistance from the National Assembly,
of course,
INEC insisted.
Of course, INEC insisted, and you saw the result in Osun, where to a large extent, you saw the wishes of the people, even though the result is still being challenged, you know, at the governorship election petitions tribunal. But it gave you a fair idea. And what makes the BVAS even more interesting is the fact that it has dual functionality. It must capture both your face and your fingerprint. If either, you know, doesn't work, then you won't vote that day. It's better we have genuine people voting rather than having fake people voting on that day. It could reduce vote in the long run, but then we'll get better with it if we adopt, if we allow the BVAS to work.
Also, let's see, got a few more comments here. But once again, 0700-923-0923 is the number to call via Facebook and Twitter at NigeriaInfoPH. Let's see, good evening, Dio. I do not believe that the problem is our electoral process or system alone. Rather, it is more in our attitude of non-tolerance of differences as a people. There is a very high level of non-tolerance of diverse views and opinions among us, which always cause fights and crashes among us, even among non-politicians. A dirty fight and threats to lives among ordinary citizens on the streets and social media daily cause of opposing political views is a testament to this. We need to tolerate each other more. And that's some influence. Before I let Lekan address that, I'd like to say to influence other parts of the world where people don't just break a bottle and stab someone, might not be because that person is more tolerant than the average Nigerian, but because he knows if he breaks a bottle and stabs the person, he is going to be arrested and very likely he will go to jail.
No. You know, one of the, like I always say, one of the popular refrain in the United States is that if you can't spend the time, don't do the crime. And you know what time means, Dayo. If you know you can't go to prison, please don't commit the crime because we will run after you. And that's why you see those that were involved, you know, in one crime or the other, in the Second World War, even in the First World War, there are still ongoing investigations. Some of them are dead, but they want to bring a closure as to who committed which crime and all the rest. So you understand the kind of system they run there. And that's why I say, do you think Europeans don't like corruption or are not corrupt? Do you think Americans are not corrupt? They are as corrupt as Nigerians. But they know that they will always have their day in court. If they are in court, yeah, when they are caught. So if you involve yourself in crime, just rest assured that it might take time. But the wheels of investigation will meet you one day. And you do the time, which is the difference in Nigeria.
Absolutely. And referencing Michael Crichton's fictional book, The Rising Sun,
yeah,
I'm paraphrasing something about in Japan. It's almost a certainty in Japan. If you commit a crime, you are going to get caught.
It's almost a certainty.
Almost a certainty.
It's almost guaranteed.
Because the
Japanese have a close-knit system. Well, almost everybody seems to know everybody. So it's easy, really. And you know, in Japan, if you commit a crime and the police is looking for the person, even the person's family will come out and beg you to give yourself up.
And the deployment of technology as well.
Of course.
Cameras everywhere.
Of course. Yeah. You know, when we talk of forensics, Nigeria is even yet to scratch the surface. When we talk about forensics, I think one of the best that we can have in recent times is the national identity number that we've done recently, where we can safely say that as of today, we probably have about 60-70% of Nigeria's fingerprints in the database, which is one of the best ways going for when you want to do forensic investigation.
Once again, line to open 0700-93-093 if you're having any issues reaching that number. Do keep trying. Hopefully you get through eventually. Hopefully. Via Facebook, Abdul Rahman goes, the things that should be in the budget, the state of Nigeria now is risky to vote at polling stations. Abdul Rahman, no, there's nothing risky about that. And even if we do have incidents, some incidents, they are not... They're not too widespread as to cause anyone any concern. And even in the past, when we have had issues, they are mostly isolated. They're not widespread.
Yeah.
You don't have shootings or any discrepancies happening at every polling you need to go through.
True.
There are even some local governments where nothing happens.
Nothing happens. Yeah, we saw in the case of the last governorship elections, you know, in Ekiti State, supporters of both PDP and APC, after voting their respective candidates, retired to a nearby bar and they sat down together and drank together and said, look, this is politics. Whoever that wins becomes the governor of Ekiti State. It's not just going to become the governor of PDP members or governor of APC members. You'll be the governor of the state. And you see, to a large extent, there was a peaceful, you know, governorship election in Ekiti State where members of opposing political parties retire to their different houses or their different joints, you know, have a bottle of drink or palm wine, which is popular in Ekiti State, and everybody was happy. At the end of the day, result was announced, the candidate of APC won, and there is peace in Ekiti State as of today because the new governor has been inaugurated. If we can continue to have that kind of culture, disagreements are bound to happen, definitely, but then it shouldn't lead to where you threaten to kill somebody or you kill somebody and you say, look, nothing, you know, will happen.
Absolutely, sir. Also, got a few comments over here. Good evening, Dan. Hoodlums burning INEC office in Ogun State is political structure by so-called powerful political godfathers who want to remain in power. Here in River State, they demonstrated it in the Muma local government a few days back. For goodness sake, why can't politicians allow for a peaceful political atmosphere in the country? What is wrong with our elections in Nigeria? Is it that political offices are seen as a get-it-or-die affair? I suggest that electoral law offenders should be given a life sentence to serve as deterrent to others. So that's from Lekwe. Let's talk repercussions here. What the consequence, you know? But then again, is it a function of consequence? Is it a function of not enough laws or simply a case of not implementing what we even have already?
There are more than enough laws, Dayo. It is just simply a case of impunity, like I'd argued all along. You understand? When you have certain backers, you know, who will tell you, go and commit this crime and tell you that nothing will happen, we're here to back you. And they mean it, because they've succeeded in doing it for a long time. Some have been around since 1999, and they know the kind of electoral offenses, you know, they've carried out, electoral haste, so to say, they've carried out since 1999. And truly, since 1999, you know, nothing has happened to them. And that's why we say, look, 2023 may just significantly change the way and manner we reason. If the beavers will work well, they might have some, you know, shocks here and there. And by 2027, we'll probably have been able to strengthen, you know, the beavers in terms of as an enabling credibility in general elections in Nigeria. That might begin to change, you know, the perception, you know, of the two major political parties, APC and PDP. If in 2023 we're able to get a sizable number of good candidates who belong to other parties outside of both APC and PDP, if they win election, then I'm sure the two big political parties will probably have to go back to the drawing board and say, look, we might have to jettison this idea of imposing candidates on, you know, on the rest of the party members. Otherwise, other political parties will begin to win us in general elections. So we stand on the threshold of history in 2023. If we can continue to encourage Nigerians who have their PVC, vote for candidates of your choice. Forget political parties. We've tried political parties since 1999 till date. So forget political parties. Look at the best of the candidates across all levels. State Assembly, the National Assembly, we have governors coming up, we have the presidency coming up. Look at the best of the candidates. Maybe if politicians see that Nigerians are now waking up to be able to influence the way and manner they want the elections to go, politicians will begin to sit up. The idea of imposing candidates on a particular political party may no longer serve, because you know that if you impose a candidate on the party, even your party members will vote against your candidate. And when we begin to exercise, you know, that power, that franchise, I'm sure a lot of, you know, this violence we are talking about, some of the impunity will begin to reduce and begin to have a credible pose.
And then we ventured into the realm of the responsibility or roles of the citizenry now. However, apologies to you, been trying to reach the studio via 0700-93-093. I have just confirmed that that number is problematic at the moment. But hopefully, our engineers will be able to resolve that and the line will be opened once again and you can reach the studio. But do keep trying though. Hopefully you get through. 0700-93-093. Good evening. I cannot believe that any youth can involve in burning down the INEC office in Ogun State just to destroy PVC, which will help to save him or her out of the pit. I believe these hoodlums are cursed to suffer forever. Arson Donald, our politics is suffering from impunity because the players are yet to imbibe democratic values. It's either they win or they burn the house down. All right. 65,000 PVCs were lost in that fire in the INEC office. 65. Okay, he sent some link here. I wanted to confirm that. From the reports I read earlier on, there was nothing said about PVCs, even though INEC officials were interviewed. But we'll get to that in a moment. But let me ask you, wrap it up. You were talking about the roles of the citizens earlier on. 2023 is around the corner. Whilst impunity might still be reigning right now, and the advocates or the beneficiaries of the impunity might still be there at the moment, and like you said, those who have been taking notes before are probably on the fringes right now, hoping that it will not be their own turn.
It's turn by turn.
Exactly. And they hope to perpetuate that impunity for the rest of Nigerians, who, incidentally, are in the majority. What can they do to change the narrative?
Well, and like I was arguing, Dayo, we need to come out in 2023. If you have your PVC, forget the idea of somebody telling you there'll be violence on election day. There won't be any violence. Let's all come out. This is not the time to vote for any political party. Vote for the candidate that best represents your hopes and aspirations. There are plethora of political parties out there. Vote for any candidate that you believe can help you alter the course of history, change the way and manner we are presently running Nigeria. And if we're able to have just one third of changes going into 2023 general election, then we'll have carried out a major revolution in Nigeria's political history. So there are 109 Senate seats. There are 360 House of Rep seats. There are over 9,000 House of Assembly seats. I think we have about 26 governorship elections coming up in 2023. We have one presidential election in 2023. So if out of all of these numbers, we're able to change just one thought with our PVC in 2023, will have carried out a major revolution in Nigeria's political history. And that can now strengthen us to go into 2027. I'm sure if we have one thought, just one thought of revolution in electoral candidacy in 2023, I'm sure by 2027, the two big political parties will probably have a rethink and say, look, it looks as if Nigerians have woken up. And if we continue our old ways, we might not survive 2027. So an appeal to everybody is, look, don't focus too much attention on the presidency of Nigeria, which is good. But apart from the presidential election in 2023, we have 360 House of Rep seats. We have 109 senatorial seats. And we have over 8,000 House of Assembly seats in Nigeria. I hope I'm right with that figure. But we have several House of Assembly seats across the states of the Federation. Please, let's vote for the candidates that best represent our hopes and aspirations.
On that note, we ramp up the conversation. Many thanks for joining in. By the way, keep it going on Facebook and Twitter at Nigerian for PH. Thanks to my guest, Olaleko Enge, is editor with the Independent Monitor. Leko, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Dayo.